You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
The presence of the Lord is in this place. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank and praise God for being here. And I am intrigued by this series that we are encountering. Even with what we experienced today, this morning, with the idea of what really happened when Jesus came to earth. Truth walking on the streets. Truth walking on the streets. The personification of truth. Those that knew, Peter looked at Jesus and he said, "You are the one. You are the personification of truth." Jesus didn't deny him. Jesus didn't say, "Now that's going too far." He said, "My Father in heaven revealed that to you." So they knew that he was the real deal. It's an interesting scripture in the book of Ezekiel. It won't be on the screens, but I'm just kind of give you a little commentary, especially as I see what took place, what we just experienced from our hearts crying out. The scripture in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah, not Ezekiel, it actually says this. It says, "Truth is slain in the streets." What a scary picture. Truth is cut down. How is it that truth could be cut down? Have you ever stood up for what you knew was true? You ever stood up for what you thought was right, was real, and it still gets cut down? How? Why? You could imagine that these 50 days, we're going into the whole series outbreak, and you can imagine these 50 days, these men and these women trying to figure out those first 3 days that truth gets hung on a cross, spread, hung high and spread wide, made fun of, teased and taunted by pagan, unbelieving, wild men that came to these people's land, took over their land, and now they're killing the very one that these men believed in, and they watch truth die. Have you ever watched your truth die? Have you ever watched your dream die? Truth is slain in the streets. How is that can happen? How can that actually happen? This is not right. It makes you want to cry out for justice and say, it's not right. The very thing that Jesus did, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," God, how could you forsake me here? How could you leave me here? How could you die like this on me when I was counting on you? Little did we know it was all a part of the plan. John, the 12th chapter, the 24th verse. Jesus is going through something here. It's 12 chapters. It's only a couple more chapters till he is being betrayed. And there in the 12th chapter is a couple Greeks that come up to him. Greeks, these were intelligent, noble, knowledged people. And they came up to him and they praised him and said, you're the one. You're the real deal. So not only were the people from the country, not only were the people that were his same culture and his same people acknowledging him, those that believed him, because everybody didn't believe him, but there were some now that were outside of his culture that was coming and acknowledging, "You're the real deal." And Jesus was, he just looked up to God and said, "God, I really praise you. Thank you. Thank you for this moment." And God, now he's saying, "But what do I do? Do I go on to the next level? Because I know what's about to happen now. Now that everybody is looking at me, everybody is counting on me, I know what comes next. I gotta die." And he said, do I do this? And it's an interesting verse in John 12 and 24. He says this, before we go on, this is kind of part of this whole idea of 50 days later. Look at, he says, 12 and 24, he says, I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Jesus knew something that he had to not only experience in his head and his mind as a philosophical concept, but now he said, I have to live this out in front of you. Is that I have to go into this place where I get cut down right in the street. Truth has died in the streets. Why? Because if I stay with all of this power by myself, there will never be an outbreak. There will never be an outbreak. Sometimes some things that you're going through, you have to go through it, or there will never be an outbreak. I'm gonna say that again because you didn't get that thing. Some things that you're going through, you have to go through it, or there will never be an outbreak. There will never be a takeover. There will never be it being planted, and planted meaning that it is surplanted. That is snuck up in there. Just when the devil thought he had you, that's really what Jesus was saying. Just when the devil thought he had me and he thought that he did it all, he actually cut me down in the street and he was partying over here. But 3 days later, 3 days later, I rose from the grave. And as a result, the Bible calls Jesus the first fruits of the resurrection. If he's the first fruit, do we have any other fruit here? Do we have any other fruit here? Do we have anybody here that's gone through something where you've experienced death and you thought it was over, decided to pack up and let it go? Walk away from the things of God. You know what, God? That's enough. I've had enough. I'm tired of being made fun of. I'm tired of going through. I'm tired of all the pain. See you. Wouldn't want to be you. I go on. But you decide you just can't stay away from God. You can get away from God's people. You can get away from the church. But you can't get away from God. And when you call back to him, before you know it, that thing that you thought was dead, that thing that you thought could not breathe, that thing that you thought you could not pick up anymore, you look back at that thing and it's... Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm here to tell you, this is my simple little gospel. I got a message for you over there that's baking, and I want to share it, but let me give you a preview. This is your appetizer. This is your appetizer. I don't know what's dead in your life. Start looking at it again. Look back at it again. You done put it in a grave. You put a stone over it. You said it's over. You read the obituary over it. But look at it again, because there's an outbreak that's about to take place. Somebody say outbreak. There is an outbreak. That's what this whole idea of outbreak 50 days later is all about. It's about, and this is what I experience here with our church. Pastor Tracy, this is what I feel that you really experienced, that sense of pain and mourning. Are we going to go to where God called us to go? Don't tell me as well, you know, we want, you know, some great, we need a big band. You know, then everybody worship the Lord. Or we need some solid gold dancers and singers up here, and then everybody worship the Lord. We need a light show, and then everybody will worship the Lord. The Spirit of God is here, and he was here during that praise and worship, wasn't he? Give it up for the praise and worship team, man. I looked at you guys this morning, and I looked in wonder. I said, oh, my gosh, look at this. Because I remember a year ago when we were getting up there and we were timid and trying to figure out how we do this and what works and is it going to happen. And then let me go and just tell you. Let me tell you. They was looking at y'all, and y'all was looking at them, and both of y'all was cross-eyed. And you was like, what are we going to do? I saw God's people get up there this morning, took that mic, begin to worship God. And Pastor Tracy, I know, I feel you, because I know that you still, it was some people that was entering in, but everybody wasn't. There was some folks still out on the side, just... And you know, stuff like that say, you know what? Y'all crazy. But just when you think it's dead, look at somebody and say, just when you thought I was dead. Look at somebody on the other side, because they didn't get the revelation. Look at somebody on the other side and say, just when you thought that it was over for me, just when you thought that it wasn't going to happen for me, just when you thought. Don't give me a high five on that thing. If you thought I was dead. An outbreak on the inside of me. An outbreak within my life. An outbreak in my bank account. An outbreak in my relationships. An outbreak. An outbreak. I want to talk to you. We've been talking about the idea of an outbreak. And 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, we talked about the outbreak. And I titled it The Contagion of a Blessing, Part 1. And last week, we talked about that, The Contagion of the Blessing. I'm going to talk to you about The Contagion of a Blessing, Part 2, here this morning. And we talked last week about the blessing. And the blessing, we talked about the contagion of a blessing. We talked about the blessing and what the blessing is. Now I want to talk and I want to go deeper and go on down. I want to talk about the contagion. Everybody say contagion. Say it again, contagion. Now, if you go to the dictionary and dictionary.com, you can simply do that, and you go and see the word contagion, and you see the word contagion because you think contagion, you immediately think, you know, death, you think something bad. Of course, if you look at some of the definitions, the communication of a disease or a disease that's communicated, and I'm not talking as much about the disease as I'm talking about the function of the word contagion. The function of the word contagion is not a disease, it's a communicating function. It's something that which communicates. It's something that spreads. The fifth definition is my favorite. It says the ready transmission or spread as of an idea or an emotion from something. So as in the contagion of fear. And it spreads from person to person. So we're going to look at this idea of contagion. Everybody say contagion. And I want to share with you a quote. This comes from a gentleman by the name of Chuck Bullock, Bullock, and this is a powerful quote. Blesses me so much when he says this. Listen to this quote, and I'm going to read it for you. It says this: the unreal is more powerful than the real, because nothing is as perfect as you can imagine it. It is only intangible ideas, concepts, and beliefs that last. Stone will crumble, wood will rot, people will die, but things as seemingly fragile as an idea or a legend will endure. He goes on to say this. He says, if you can change the way people think, the way people see themselves, the way that they see the world, then you can change the way they live their lives. And that's the only real thing that you can change. An idea is so powerful. The simple idea. You think that a building is powerful? You think that your bank account is powerful? You think that the car that you have is powerful? I'm going to tell you what's more powerful than that, the idea that created it. You think that what you got is powerful? But if you ever get a hold to the idea, if you get a hold to the idea, people could steal your stuff. But if you got the idea, you can create it all over again. Let me make a plan. Let me break it down. Let me break it down to you. The idea of Life Community Church. The idea of Life Community Church, God planted it, and it resides within those two people right there. Go and give it up for them. Them two people right there, God planted in them the idea of Life Community Church. Now, you know our story. 8 years long, we started off in a church or a little storefront over there down the road, right? And we had that place and we thought it was good, and it really was good for what it was at the time. And then guess what? The place moved away, passed away. We couldn't keep the place. Place didn't make no sense for us to keep, right? And so we had to move on. Now, did our Life Community Church die because the place? Wait a minute. We decide, you know what we need to do? We need to go to the boys' club. Because it's a lot cheaper than what we were playing for these folks. These folks was charging us like crazy. It don't make no difference. We sitting here paying rent for people when we can be helping the community with the same money. So we decided to go to the boys' club, and now we have plenty of money to help the community, right? Remember that? And then like community church starts to take off. Well, things is kind of hard at boys' club because boys' club was a little ghetto. And so we decided, you know, Pastor Rich and Pastor Tracy said, you know what, wait a minute. This is not truly lining up, help me out, with our idea of what Life Community Church is. So the vessel couldn't contain the idea, so we had to get up out of that vessel because that vessel wasn't lining up with the. So we moved on over to Bob Duncan Center, and now we at the Bob Duncan Center. But guess what? If the Bob Duncan Center fell down today, it will not stop the idea of Life Community. Look at somebody and say, get an idea. Get yourself an idea. If you get an idea, get an idea. Because if you ever get an idea, you cannot be stopped. Look at this. This is a t-shirt, and this is from a book from a guy by the name of Seth Godin. He's a great, great author. He wrote a book called The Idea Virus. And look at what this says. I love this. He says, an idea is like a virus, resilient and highly contagious. The smallest seed of an idea can grow. It can grow to define you or destroy you. Wow. Let that just sink in. Just look at that t-shirt. Just see yourself in that t-shirt right there. An idea is like a virus. It's highly contagious. And just the smallest idea, the smallest inkling of an idea could either grow and it can become something that defines you, or if you have the wrong idea, that idea can grow and one day destroy you. Let me illustrate this a little bit more, because the point is, if you ever get God's idea of you on the inside of you, it can begin to grow and define you, and it won't be stopped. I feel that thing. Mama, I feel that thing. Because you know what? No matter what the devil tries to do on the outside, it can't stop the idea that is you. And you've already grown. And it's too late, devil. It's, look at somebody and say, it's too late, devil. It's too late. You can't stop me. Because I'm a fully defined idea from God. God have mercy. Two or three people got that. I'm going to say it again. Devil, you can't stop me because I am a fully realized idea in the mind and heart of God. So let me give you a really cool illustration of what I mean. Let me show you how to develop an idea. Let me give you an illustration. This was what I like to call a 10-finger prayer. The 10-finger prayer is very simple. I need you to do it with me. Go on to the 10-finger prayer. You should all know this. If you don't know it, you're going to learn it. Put both of your hands up, and I want you to count these words on your finger. Start with this pinky and go all the way over here. You ready? Here's the prayer. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Say it again. Isn't that powerful? That's it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens. Oh, that's powerful. Isn't that a powerful prayer? See if you can do it by yourself. Don't even look at the screen. Just do it. Come on. Let me see if you can do it. Isn't that powerful? Now, you're going to need that prayer in the morning, so go on and say it one more time. Say it again. Here we go.
You're probably going to need it by break time next week. By break time, you know, when people are getting on your nerves. And if they ever get on your nerves, just start moving your fingers like this and remember your prayers and just go on and use the prayer. Just go ahead and do it again. Some, I can all things. Let me show you something powerful about this prayer. If you notice, that the two smallest fingers start with I and end with me, which means you have very little to do with this prayer. It's really God that's in the middle of this prayer. Somebody pray the prayer again. Wait. Let me show you one more thing about this prayer. Everybody go and do the prayer with me. I can do all things through. Stop and put that finger up right there. That finger. That when you get to the point that you're revealing that it's Christ in you and not you, you're revealing the hope of glory. You can't be stopped with this idea right here. So the next time you start going into an issue, just start using your hands and just start saying, how is this going to work out? How is this going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen, but lay all 10 fingers on top of your head and realize, help me out one more time, say it. Period. Somebody say period. Say it again. Say period. It is the contagion of a blessing. Let me go a little. Can I go a little bit deeper on the contagion of the blessing? Let me give you an idea of what I mean by the contagion of the blessing. Jesus said like this in the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter, in the 33rd verse. He said this. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. Wow. And that was it. That was the end of the parable. What was he talking about? Some of you guys that know leaven is yeast. And if you ever put yeast in any kind of bread, you can put a little bit of yeast in the bread for some, because of the nature of what the yeast is, it multiplies and grows. It doesn't stop and stay there and just be a little bit of yeast in the bread. It takes over the bread. He's saying that the kingdom of heaven is like yeast, that if you ever put it in the leaven, it will take over the whole leaven. If you ever put it in, it will take over. Has anybody ever put it in and let it just take over everything about you? Let me go a little bit deeper. Let me go a little bit deeper for about 5 minutes. Let me give you an idea. Has anybody ever here, anybody ever had an earworm? Y'all know what an earworm is? Any of you guys know what an earworm is? You know what an earworm is, don't you? An earworm is like, it's like a song that gets in your head and it never leaves. Does anybody have this? Has anybody had this? The song, it gets in your head, and once it's there, it just runs and plays and plays. And you're like, please leave. Oh my gosh. And it just stays and stays. And I don't care. Kids, little children have this. I know when I was a kid, I grew up and I was born in 67. So, and let me see, it was in 1968. A show came out by the name of, how many of y'all heard this show right here? The Andy Griffin Show. How many of y'all seen the? And I remember this song, this show went a long, long time. And I remember growing up as a kid when this show came on. I bet you guys know this song. I know you know this song. Some of y'all saying, Pastor, don't do that, because if you do that, then it's going to stay in my head all day long. Come on, help me out.
The Andy Griffith Show, starring Andy Griffith with Ronnie Howard, also starring Don Knotts.
Let me see if you finish. Come on. Uh-huh. Come on. Uh-huh. All right. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Come on. Do-do-do. I can't even. Now, how many of y'all like, Pastor, why'd you do that? Because now that's going to stay in my head all week long. Well, now, that was the 60s. That was the 60s. Let me take y'all to the 70s. How many of y'all have ever seen this picture right here? Who knows who that is? Who knows who that is? Who knows who that is? You know who it is. You already know. That is Elton John. And in the 70s, if you were a 70s kid, 1975, I had to be about 8 years old. And this song came out, and once it came out, it was one of those songs that stayed in my mind. Go on, play it. Cause this is that song that played. I don't know if you guys know this song. Come on. Oh, my gosh. Come on. How many of y'all raised in the 70s? You know what I'm talking about. Now you're like, Pastor, why are you doing this? Come on.
I used to be a rose.
I didn't even know what they said because I was 8 years old. I was,
if a cold is right,
wrong was right. And I
leave.
You know how you make up songs, make up words to the song?
On the road.
Here's the part right here. Everybody know it. Here we go. Come on. Inside my head, this part. And it was stuck in my head, and I couldn't get it out of my head. Throughout the 70s, it stayed. Now, that was the 70s. Let me take y'all over to the 80s. Y'all ready for the 80s? Yeah. Go give them the 80s. Let me see. The 80s. Go on, hit them with that next one. Go on, pull it up. I know y'all remember this one. Pull it up. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. This was the most annoying song. Because that was in the 80s. We had to be hard. And you can't be hard singing this song. Okay, I'm going to see if y'all remember the song, okay? You ready? Here we go. Come on. Here it goes. Let me hear you sing.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it.
Note here it goes.
Don't worry. Be happy.
How many of y'all remember that? Make some noise if you remember that. You remember that. And it would stay in your heart and in your mind, and it would just run and run and run. But now I'm gonna mess y'all up. Somebody say, Pastor, don't do it, Pastor. I am going to take you to now, to the 2013. Go and hit me with this next one. This one right here stays in your mind. Go and hit me with that next one. This one right here stays in all of our minds. Pull it up. Here it is. Here it is. Stand on your feet if you know this one. Stand on your feet. Come on. And you can't resist it. You can't resist it. You might as well.
With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Because I'm happy.
It stopped, but it's not stopped. I said a revelation right there. You didn't even get it. It stopped, but it's not stopped. Give me your Bible. It stopped, but it's not stopped. You didn't even get that in your soul yet. It stopped. Church let out even early, but it has not stopped. it stopped, but it has not stopped. You know what? I got discouraged and I wanted to give up and I wanted to walk away and I stopped, but it has not stopped. I want to talk about the contagion of a blessing. Have you ever been in the place where you've walked away from God, but God has not walked away from you? And before you know it, when you get to the place that you think it's all over, God says it's not over. Somebody say it's not over. And it won't be over. It won't be over until, just like Jesus said about the kingdom of heaven, until that leaven takes over the whole piece. It will not stop. It will not stop. It will not stop. Let me give you 3 points on this. 3 points on this. First of all, to understand this, just like that happy song, you can resist it. And the more you resist it, the more is there. You can try to resist the things of God. The truth is, you'll either bow now or you'll bow later. I choose to bow now. So this is my point number one in this, is learn to be a carrier of the contagion and not a, somebody say it out loud again, learn to be a, and not a, the book of Mark, 16th chapter, the 15th verse, I don't have time to deliberate the entire verse, but I love this verse. This is one of the first verses that I memorized when I was a kid, when I was discipled. My uncle did disciple me. He taught me this verse, Mark 16 and 15. It says that once Jesus was raised from the dead, he rose and he appeared to his disciples. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who are carriers of the blessings. Do I have any carriers of the blessing here? Do I have any carriers of the blessing? These signs will follow them. What's one of the first signs? In my name, go on in it, they will cast out. There are some things that the contagion, the blessing on the inside of you will cast some things out. Woo. I'll say it, I just wanted to let that one sit right there. There are some things that if you continue to believe God and walk in that belief, the belief of God and the presence of God in that mess, it won't stay in the same room for too long. Something gotta go. Something gotta go. And Jesus said, this is a sign. This is not even something that you manufacture. It's a part of your belief system that if you hold on to what God said, then what the devil says got to go. In my name, they will cast out devils. Two, they will speak with new tongues. Now, how do you initiate things in the kingdom? You speak it. You speak it forth. How many of y'all want to speak some things forth right now that you got to speak some healing forth? You got to speak some restoration forth. You got to speak some miracles forth. Jesus said, you will be able to speak that. What's the next sign? He said they will take up serpents, things that think that they have dominion and their domain. You'll be able to take it up and throw it out of here. And if they drink any deadly thing, anything that comes into them, they will be able to survive it. It will not hurt them. Last one, they will lay their hands on the sick. I agree. In the name of Jesus, I touch with you and they will get well. Hallelujah. That's the power of the contagion. How many of y'all want to be a carrier and not a barrier of the contagion? I want to continue to move forward. Can I move forward? Can I keep on going? Number two, let me tell you this. Understand that resistance to the contagion, resistance to the blessings of God is futile. Look at somebody say resistance is futile. This story, I wish I had time to walk into this story, but let me just kind of tell you briefly what happened.
This is a story in Acts, the 24th chapter. I really almost wanted to start with this verse because this is an incredible story. This is a story that Paul's opposition got together to try to shut him down. And the only person that they felt that can shut him down was the government. He was in a foreign land. He was in Rome. He was in a Roman occupied territory, so they went to the police. They went to the government, to Felix, the Roman. And so they decided to go against him. And looking at Acts, the 24th verse, it says this, or 24th chapter, it says this. Go ahead and hit it. And now after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, came down with the elders, and a certain orator or a certain speaker named Tertullian, his name is Tertullian, he gave evidence to the governor against Paul. Keep on going. And when he was called upon, Tertullius began his accusation saying, now, this is what's amazing to me about this story. Let me give you just a little bit of background. The point is that these were Jewish men and women of God who always rebelled against anybody that came against them. That was a part of their makeup. That was who they were. They only trust God. God is our leader. We don't even trust these folks. But these people decided to side with the Romans, the pagan unbelievers, and they got this real nice speaker, Tertullian, to speak against Paul. And he says, and when he was called upon, Tertullian began his accusation saying this. Look at this. He says, seeing that through you, through who? Through the Romans? Now, remember, these are Jewish men. They always believed and claimed that God was the only one that gave them peace. Notice how the blasphemy that he's saying. He says, we see that through you, great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation, Israel, by your foresight. They believe that only God has the foresight to bless them. Look at how they're talking. Keep going. It says this, and we accept it always and in all places. So they're accepting Roman rule here. You got to understand how they're painting this up. They say, we accept it in all ways and all places, most noble Felix. With all thankful. So they're thankful that you're ruling over me. I'm thankful that you're using your gods to say that my God's not nothing. Okay, next one. It says, nevertheless, not to be so tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear by your courtesy a few words from us. For we have found this man a plague. You know what they were talking about? Paul. The King James Version calls him a pestilent fellow. We have found this man to be a plague. Question, has the devil found you to be a plague? Has the devil found you to be a pestilence that you're always believing, no matter how much he pushes you down? Like I used to say that the power and the spirit of rubber ducky is on you. How many times the enemy pushes you down just like a rubber ducky, you just keep coming back up. All the time he tries to push you down, you just keep coming back up. That's pestilence. That's a pestilence. That's a problem. Every time I push you down, you just keep coming back up. What's coming back up in you? It's the outbreak that keeps coming back up in me. It's the outbreak that keeps coming back to life in me. Every time the devil tries to put me down, I come back up again. I just wanted to give that verse to you. Read the 24th chapter later on in your own study. It's a powerful, powerful verse because they're trying to bring opposition against Paul. And this is what Paul learns. And this is what you got to learn. You don't try to attack your resistance. No, all you got to do is learn how to love your resistance. Learn how to love your resistance. Paul just stood up for the truth that he knew that was true, and it made a difference. Last part, and I'm going to close. Learn and strive to live up close to your resistance. It's not about living up front. Some people want to get up front. They just want to be up front because they think if they're up front, then things will go their way. No, especially your resistance, especially those who resist you, who stand against what you believe in. Get up close to them. Get right to them. Get right next to them. And then let what's on the inside of you
just come on them. Let what's on the inside of you get on the inside of them. Get to the point where you're contagious, where what's on the inside of you comes out of you and onto them, and it makes a difference. It changes everybody. Because you remember when you used to be resistant to the blessing. Don't you remember that you used to fight the blessing? Don't you remember that you used to say, I ain't going to be like them saved folks. I'm not going to walk like that. I'm not going to talk like that. And it was somebody that loved your heart, head, self. Woo, Jesus. Oh, woo, got close. Your heart, head, self. Woo. Somebody that loved you enough to get up close to you. To get up close to you and love you anyway. You cussed them out, they still loved you anyway. They prayed for you. And sooner enough, what was in them got on you and it changed you. Last verse, and let's close. Last verse. This is my verse. This is my contagious verse. The book of 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Paul said this. He said, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart not only the gospel of God. Wait a minute. I thought the gospel was enough. I thought Jesus, as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Paul said, no. We realize the gospel is great. You need the gospel. But you need the gospel in the context of somebody's life. See, if I just give you the gospel, that's like throwing you a truth bomb, a hand grenade. Here's the truth bomb. Live with it. And we do that in the church. Can I be real with you? Someone's dealing with sexual sin. Well, the Bible say, deal with it. Paul said this. He said, I loved you so much that I wasn't just going to preach to you. I was going to live with you. Because you become so dear to me that I can't let you fall. I love you too much. And Paul said, because I connect with you, the thing that drives me and that's on the inside of me that keeps coming alive when I'm dead, when Paul, the one that was getting beat all the time, the one that was getting ran out, don't you think he had an attitude? Don't you think he didn't like some of that? What was it that got Paul up every morning, the next morning, and the next morning, and the next morning? It was the outbreak. And he said, I wanted to connect and get so close to you that which is on the inside of me will get into you. Grab somebody's hand right now. Grab somebody's hand and start praying that the outbreak will begin to spread out of you, into them, upon them, around them. Pray over their family. Pray over their home that the outbreak of life, not death, of life, of blessing, not cursing. God brought an outbreak of blessing upon his earth when he brought Jesus to earth. Now he's saying, pray that outbreak begins to spread from you to them, out of you into them, out of you up on them, off of you up on them, because that's how the outbreak grows within you when you pray for somebody else. Come on, pray for them. We don't need an altar call. This is an altar call. Pray over them. Pray over their home. Pray over their family. Pray over their job situation. Pray over that very place that they feel that is dead. And they end up crying and saying, God, it's dead. Say, God, give them 3 days. 3 days later, bring it back to life. Come on, pray over them. Bring it back to life in Jesus' holy name. Let me hear you praying. Let me hear you praying. Let me hear you praying. God, we're trusting you for an outbreak of your spirit 50 days later. Because we realize that Easter wasn't the end of the story. It was the beginning. In the name of Jesus, all over this building, all over this building, whatever, that's all I hear the Lord say, whatever, the outbreak covers it. Whatever, the outbreak covers it. Whatever, the outbreak
covers it. The blessing covers it. God's got you covered. God's got you covered. In Jesus' name.
Just stay right here. Hallelujah. Continue to pray for the person left and the person on your right, please.
Mother, the outbreak's got you covered. You worried how these kids are going to make it. How am I going to make it? I'm a single parent. How am I going to? The outbreak's got you covered. The blessings got you covered. I hear you depressed at night. I see tears coming down your eyes on that pillow saying, how am I going to pay these bills? The outbreaks, the blessings got you covered. I'm going to have to give that up. The outbreaks got you covered. It was the same outbreak that blessed Job that's blessing you. The outbreaks got you covered. Huh. You are a son. You are a daughter of God. So within you is the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And it's going to break out of you as well.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215. Or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.